We're opening here at the beautiful Palace Theater with our gala event, which is kind of technically a pre-season event on October 14th. It's not part of the subscription package, but it's our big gala opening, beautiful 70-minute concert followed by a big, fabulous party, thematic party. And it's a sort of salute to the movies, particularly to John Williams and the great Star Wars music that he has written and continues to write. And then also kind of refracting that with some classic American music by a great film composer of the past, Erich Wolfgang Korngold, one of the absolute fathers of the American cinema, born in Austria, great opera composer who Richard Strauss said was going to be the next great opera composer. He came to America during the Second World War and started writing for the movies and wrote just incredible numbers of classic film scores. So we'll be starting the season with one of those, the Suite from the Seahawk, and including his magnificent violin concerto in that concert. So a really gorgeous, fabulous, just an absolutely scintillating celebration of film to open the season. Then on our regular season, starting in November, we're kicking it off with The Rite of Spring. Believe it or not, as iconic a work that is, the work that really sort of brought modernity to the world of concert music. We've never played the Rite of Spring during my 25-year tenure, and I think maybe the orchestra only played it once before. That's because it's a really big, expensive orchestra. But we're grabbing the brass ring, and we're going to do the Rite of Spring, and we're going to sort of connect it to some other sort of fantastical pieces, The Sorcerer's Apprentice, and this magnificent new piece by our composer mentor next year, the great David Del Tredici. It's a piece, a narrated piece, Rip Van Winkle, and David will be back on our festival. He's celebrating his 80th birthday next year, and we're really honored and delighted to have the great David Del Tredici with us twice next year. Then, after the Rite of Spring, in December, we have this really monumental Mozart marathon, Mozart's miraculous year, the Annus Mirabilis. We're focusing on one of the greatest years. It's kind of a funny thing. It's kind of a funny thing in the world of Mozart. You can almost, you know, throw a dart at any year of his life, and it's a miraculous year because he wrote such unbelievable music through his whole very brief but incredible career. But this is maybe the high point of his fame. 1786, when he was living and working in Vienna, he wrote three of his last great piano concertos in that year, really extraordinary pieces, as well as The Marriage of Figaro, another little opera called Die Schauspieldirektor, the theater director, Horn Concerto, the Prague Symphony. So we'll actually be bringing in singers, doing some scenes from The Marriage of Figaro, playing all three of these great iconic piano concertos over the two concerts. So it's two concerts chock full of Mozart, as well as additionally our featured soloists will be playing chamber music, we'll be doing vocal recitals, piano recitals, etc. So probably, I don't know, something in the range of five or six different concert presentations over that brief, beautiful pre-holiday Mozart weekend. January, we're bringing back Beethoven's Fifth. We haven't played it in a remarkably long time, but we're buttressing it against a great Christopher Rouse concerto. We're exploring some of the major recent concertos of that iconic living composer, Chris Rouse. So we'll be playing his trumpet concerto, Heimdall's Trumpet, and a gorgeous piece by Schumann. February happens to fall right before Valentine's Day, so we've got Tchaikovsky's magnificent Romeo and Juliet on the program, but we also have... Oh, I have this backwards. I'm sorry. Nobody corrected me. You're so nice. Theophanidis, viola concerto, is the one that's in January. It's a piece that we were hoping to play this year. We've actually, in my 25 years, never played a viola concerto, I'm ashamed to say. This is a fabulous, brand new viola concerto featuring an extraordinary violist, Richard O'Neill, really the first call violist in the world right now. So we're really fortunate that he was able to make time to be with us. That's in January. Chris Rouse's concerto is in February, along with a beautiful work of Prokofiev, one of the great works of the 20th century that's really not very well known, his Seventh Symphony and Romeo and Juliet. And then in March, we prepare to head to the Kennedy Center, and so we're playing our Kennedy Center program here on March 10th, and it's a program that, you know, for this festival, for the Shift Festival, orchestras apply, and it's exceedingly competitive because you have to apply with the most dazzling, unusual programs you can think of. So since we've been thinking a great deal about water recently with the Erie Canal Bicentennial, we've commissioned a number of works that are related to water. It's kind of a water-themed program with this great Michael Torkey, Piano Concerto, Three Manhattan Bridges, Joan Towers, piano concerto about water, Michael Dougherty's tuba concerto about life on the Mississippi River, and a great piece we commissioned a number of years ago from Dorothy Chang for children's chorus and orchestra about the Erie Canal. So that's going to be the Kennedy Center program. We're going to play it here about a month before and use a great number of local elementary school choruses en masse to perform with us. So that'll be an exciting aspect of that. And then the following month, we'll take that program down to the Kennedy Center and actually perform Dorothy Chang's children's choir piece with local choruses, school choruses in Washington, D.C. So that'll be a great way for us to kind of connect with the Washington, D.C. community as well as obviously here with our own. And that's just going to be a really thrilling event, and we're actually working now to build a kind of Capital Region Day in D.C. around that trip in April. I'm hoping that our local representatives will open their offices and give us tours, and we can go down and lobby for whatever Mayor Sheehan wants us to lobby for, and we're also going to really connect with our expat Capital Region community down there and create some events around that. So we should have a really celebratory week or a few days in the nation's capital. Moving on, we have a great, great young guest conductor, Gemma New, a New Zealand-born young lady who was the assistant conductor of the LA Philharmonic and is now the conductor in Hamilton, Ontario, in Canada. She's a fantastic conductor, and I'm delighted that we're able to be one of the first orchestras that's invited her to guest conduct. And she's bringing along the most celebrated young New Zealand-born composer, Selina Fisher, who's been played all over the world, but strangely, even though she's a very young woman, not yet in the U.S., so this will be her United States premiere of a new piece of hers, but the first time that her music has ever been played, I believe, in the United States. And she's doing the Sassoon's Organ Concerto and Beethoven Violin Concerto as well. Should be a great, great program. And speaking of guest conductors, I just want to remind everybody that this weekend, Saturday night, we have another great guest conductor with us. Ms. Kanalakis is conducting the orchestra tomorrow and Friday, concert on Saturday, and concert Saturday. Concert Saturday, right. It's Beethoven Triple and the Brahms Fourth Symphony, so a beautiful program just coming up this weekend. I hope everyone will get to that. And then finishing out the regular season on May 19th and 20th, like the Mozart event in December, we're doing our Gershwin Immersion. This is something that I've been wanting to do my entire tenure. As you know, I do a lot of Gershwin, and whenever I play it, wherever it is in the country, I always make sure that the great American pianist Kevin Cole is with us. Kevin is the undisputed master of the Gershwin repertoire in the world. He plays his music, as everyone says, when he plays his music, he sounds more like Gershwin than Gershwin. He's studied all the piano roles and the recordings and really plays in this incredibly idiomatic 1910s, 1920s style. And Kevin owns this repertoire. So we're going to be playing the complete works for piano and orchestra, as well as pretty much or pretty close to the complete orchestral works of George Gershwin. So it's a chance to spend a weekend, two concerts, and Kevin's also going to do a cabaret event. So three events that really cover the entire Gershwin's entire oeuvre for orchestra and orchestra with piano, and doing them in an extremely echt, authentic performance practice style. So a great chance for all of you to hear all these works together, and we're doing them actually basically chronologically. So like the great Beethoven Piano Concerto, little mini festival we had last December, you'll be able to, if you take the journey for the whole weekend, you'll be able to kind of trace Gershwin's evolution through his brief but beautiful career from his earliest works to his last works. And what's really cool about that is we're playing Rhapsody in Blue not once but twice, because as you probably remember, the first version was for Paul Whiteman's jazz band, so we'll play it at the beginning in that version and at the end in the later orchestration that he and Ferdy Groffet created. And finally, our American Music Festival features two kind of through elements. On the one hand, we're bringing David Del Tredici back, who's our mentor composer for the year, and we're performing one of his great Alice in Wonderland pieces. David became extremely famous in the 1970s and into the 80s because he wrote this big series of major orchestra works for orchestra with amplified soprano and folk ensemble and various really big kind of multi-dimensional performance art pieces, all inspired by Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. In fact, for about 15 years, he did nothing but write Alice in Wonderland pieces. And one of the only Alice in Wonderland pieces that has never been recorded is Adventures Underground. So we're going to be performing and recording that piece in honor of David's 80th birthday with the great American singer, Hila Plitman, the greatest new music singer in the world. And then as well as that, the other element that's going to be the through theme of the entire festival is it's really a festival about embracing musical traditions that aren't the typical Western European tradition of orchestras. So we're bringing back our great friend Rina Esmael, Lauren Moicano is going to write a piece, George Santakis is going to write a new piece for us inspired by Greek music, Rina's piece will be inspired by Hindustani music, and we'll be weaving through the entire festival all sorts of composers who write quote classical music, but who write music that's informed by and inspired by different traditions outside of the Western canon. Latin American music, Eastern music, Indian and Arabic music, and Asian music as well. So we'll be also bringing in a number of instrumentalists who play non-traditional, non-traditionally Western instruments, and sort of fusing those through our Dogs of Desire concert, through the different events of the festival, kind of connecting those to our orchestra. Because I think our belief, and certainly my belief, is that you know, this being the year 2017, and next year being the year 2018, that the orchestra as an institution, as an entity, needs to begin to imagine itself as expanding beyond the typical borders of the traditional orchestral instruments of the 18th and 19th century, and begin to welcome in all sorts of performance traditions from outside of the Western tradition. So this festival will explore that, and will also explore musicians, performers, and composers who really do that. So it should be a very exciting, very exotic, really multifaceted, great celebration of the diversity of our great country. So I think that pretty much says it, but Marisa wants me to give you just an update, and those are the main elements, all the elements, and particularly those exciting elements of next season. But I want to just give you just a quick nutshell update on our water music project, because as you probably know, leading into next season, the end of this season, after our American Music Festival, actually our American Music Festival is all about water music, all about celebrating issues related to water, and it's really a portal into our Water Music New York event that's happening the first week of July. So in June, this year, June 1st through 4th, we'll be having our American Music Festival this season, Water Music, and then exactly a month later, we'll be doing this incredible one-of-a-kind boat barge trip to celebrate the bicentennial of the Erie Canal, and that kind of leads into next season. So the way it stands, we've identified all our composers, we've put them together with our seven communities. They will all be working over the next 4 months, creating half-hour compositions, each one for each of the seven communities we're serving. We're starting here on the waterfront in Albany. Delighted that Mayor Sheehan is going to be helping host us. We'll be stopping in Schenectady, right at the Rivers Casino Complex, going to Amsterdam, Little Falls, Baldwinville, suburban Syracuse, Brockport, suburban Rochester, and finishing up on July 8th in Lockport, suburban Buffalo, where the Canal Corp is doing a gigantic day of culture and celebration, and we're the sort of centerpiece of that. But in the 4 months prior to that, these seven young composers are going to be embedded in these seven communities, each one writing a half-hour performance art, oratorio, theater piece, choral piece, depending on what local partners they're working with for our orchestra and the local group, and those will, each evening as we stop in each city, we will be giving the world premiere of each of those, of each specific one of those seven compositions that's created for the community in partnership with local arts groups in that town. So here in Albany, we're working with the Empire State Youth Orchestra, and we're working with the great documentary storytelling department up at Skidmore College. And in each town, we have different fascinating partners at dance companies in Brockport, and choruses in Little Falls, and Latin music groups in Amsterdam, and various fabulous things that are unfolding. So we'll keep you updated, but just know that the boat leaves on July 2nd, and it arrives in Lockport on July 8th, and we're building a whole sort of stream alongside us for all of our friends to come by car, by bicycle, by boat, to join us for part or all of the journey. So it's going to be a really singular, one-of-a-kind trip along the Great Erie Canal.